Welcome to Inspiratory, 20 minutes to rekindle your spirit. A collection of compelling stories, poems, commentary, and meditation. I'm Anne McCready, and I'll be your guide as we encourage one another to find a path to the greater good based on the Inspiratory principles of compassion, creativity, collaboration, consilience, courage, and celebration. Today, we'll talk about peacemaking, our program in just a moment. This week's Inspiratory theme is peacemaking. I want to begin by offering some wisdom quotes on peace, words that I think will lead us into our meditation on how to be peacemakers. The first comes from Mahatma Gandhi, the father of modern nonviolence. He said, "I object to violence when it appears to do good, because the good it does is temporary. The evil it does is permanent." Howard W. Hunter offered these words, "We need a more peaceful world, growing out of more peaceful families and neighborhoods and communities. To secure and cultivate such peace, we must love others, even our enemies as well as our friends." Peace is a daily, weekly, monthly process, said John F. Kennedy. A process of gradually changing opinions, slowly eroding old barriers, quietly building new structures. Deepak Chopra, an author and speaker, says, "Most violence in the world is not committed by bad people. It is committed by people who are expressing what is inside them, and what is inside them is rage and fear." And finally, a quote from my husband's grandmother, Isabel McCready. She left us these words, "Encourage one another. Find the time. Keep a promise. Forgive a grudge. Listen carefully. Think first of others. Laugh a little. Take pleasure in the earth. Speak your love. Speak it once again." And now, a story for the heart, Betty Williams and the Peace People. In 1976, in Northern Ireland, British troops were battling the hit-and-run tactics of the Irish Republican Army, a group who was demanding a break with English rule. Now, on a hot August afternoon, British soldiers and Land Rovers were speeding through western Belfast in pursuit of a car driven by a young IRA member, Danny Lennon, who had a passenger in his car with him. Speeding through the neighborhoods along Finnegy Road North, the soldiers opened fire. Danny Lennon was shot and killed, even as his car continued on. Now, also out along Finnegy Road, that sunny day, was Anne McGuire and her four young children. Anne was pushing little Andrew in a stroller, while her other youngsters, Joanne, John, and Mark, rode their bicycles alongside her. Suddenly, the car containing Danny Lennon's body swerved into the family, slamming into the school behind them. The carnage was horrific. 8-year-old Joanne and 6-week-old Andrew were killed immediately. John died the following day. Anne herself had leg, pelvic, and brain injuries. Unconscious for days, she awoke to the news of the deaths of her children. She never did recover from those emotional scars and took her own life months later. Now, what happened next could only be described as miraculous peacemaking. Immediately after the wreck, neighborhood shrines were set up for the lost family. Chapels were packed with mourners. A petition was begun to end the violence, and protest plans were made. Enraged by the senselessness of the mounting violence, a woman who lived near the accident, named Betty Williams, contacted the media and asked those interested in taking action to call her. At the same time, Anne McGuire's sister, May Reed, made an appeal to the world on television. A little further away, Karen McCown, an Irish newspaper correspondent who had begun to visit and write about a philosophy of peace, was covering the story. In the local church, a visiting missionary was in while the regular priest was on vacation. His mission field had been India, where he studied the teachings of Mahatma Gandhi. He shared his thoughts with Betty and May Reed and Kieran and all those involved. The seeds of peace were in place. Over the next few weeks, these three blessed people came together to found a movement called the Peace People. The people of Ireland rallied behind them in marches across the country. Within 6 months, there was a 70% drop in violence and destruction. And following those days, the Peace People went further, seeking to address the root causes of conflict and calling for nonviolence, justice, and peace. Their work was nothing short of courageous. For that, Betty Williams and May Reed Corrigan were awarded the Nobel Peace Prize the next year in 1977. Hearing that story, do you ask yourself if you're a peacemaker? You know, when I was 10 years old, the United States was deep in its struggle with civil rights, racial turmoil, and the war in Vietnam. That year, 1966, my beloved school music teacher, Mr. Martin, chose as the theme of our annual music program, World Peace. With xylophones, keyboards, recorders, drums, and voices, we paid tribute to the idea of harmony with songs like If I Had a Hammer, and I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing. But what I remember most, and what brings tears to my eyes still today, is the closing number. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Let there be peace on earth, the peace that was meant to be. Well, today, Northern Ireland is still making its way towards that peace that was meant to be, a truly peaceful, vibrant, democratic society. But it can only do that because in its darkest days, Betty Williams and others like her had the compassion to care, the courage to speak, the creativity to see solutions, the wisdom to collaborate with others, the knowledge that truth is the best force for good, and the ability to celebrate life, even in the shadow of death. These days, Betty Williams lives in the United States and continues her work as the president of the World Centers of Compassion for Children and other groups. She will appear this month as an honored guest at the Dallas International Peace Conference. I will be attending that conference and its special reception for Betty, and I am looking forward to hearing her presentation to thank her for empowering so many others to work for peace, so that I know that the song I sang so many years ago might someday come true. And that's the power of Inspiratory, that each of us can act on a very personal level to make a difference in the world. And so I would ask you, what is your message of peace? How can you use it to become more compassionate? How can you be more creative in your approaches to conflict? Who is already there and waiting to collaborate with you? How can you bring together science, knowledge, wisdom, insight, and justice? In what ways can you be more courageous in seeking peace? and what peacefulness in your life can you celebrate even now? In thinking about peacemaking, I'd like to make some recommendations of books I have found helpful. The first one is called Peace is the Way, Bringing War and Violence to an End. It is written by Deepak Chopra. Now, this book by one of the world's best-selling spiritual authors challenges us to move away from the idea of ending war and moving toward the nonviolent ideas of Gandhi, who said, "There is no way to peace. Peace is the way." With commentary by Desmond Tutu, the Dalai Lama, Betty Williams, and Dr. Wayne Dyer, this book is both visionary and provocative. Chopra ends by offering a 7-step plan for personal peacemaking that you can begin to use even now. The second book is The Search for a Nonviolent Future, A Promise of Peace for Ourselves by Michael Nagler. Dr. Nagler is a professor emeritus at the University of California in Berkeley, where he founded and still teaches at the University of California Peace and Conflict Program. I met him during a meditation study at the Unity Church of Dallas. In this book, Nagler offers his philosophy of conflict resolution and details the history and heroes of the nonviolence movement from Gandhi to the present day. He calls readers to 5 ways we can do something to hasten a peaceful world. The third book I want to recommend is called Speak Peace in a World of Conflict. What You Say Next Will Change Your World by Marshall Rosenberg. Dr. Rosenberg is an international mediator and healer who has concentrated his work on how words can be both weapons and tools. Using his 40 years of experience with international conflict mediation, he offers practical peacemaking methods. If used on a personal level, his suggestions could transform our relationships, especially those damaged by anger or conflict. Speak Peace inspires readers to choose their words carefully while growing into a conscious practice of peace. And now 2 poems. The first one is called Sus Madres. Staring into the mirror of an early morning's moon, our days already pregnant with causes to feed, there are hopes that we hum while we work, wanting to encourage, to be encouraged. At the end of the day, when tears are all we can spare, there are soft thoughts that float above us in the night as we wait for men to learn what we already know. Let us promise each other that one day soon we will leave our kitchens, our desks, our bedsides, and wearing sweet mama smiles, we will settle the backyard brawl our world has become. Like bishops, let us lay hands on the shoulders of leaders, look deep into the eyes of kings, and offer them the same patient divine wisdom that raised our children and their troubled friends. Let us say this: taste one another's tears, sing the song of laughter, with all gifts share generously. Hatred never heals anything. The world can be better. Peace is possible. You can believe these things. We know. We are your mothers. The second poem is called What I Tell Children. When our minds are tired of sorting pieces of evening news, what to keep, what to throw away, we must say the names of the things inside us: fear, passion, anger, loss, joy. Our mouths must taste the sounds of them so that we can choose between the bitter and the sweet. Our ears must hear the hard truth of every consonant, voice the wisdom of every vowel. Above the machine gun chatter of battlefield commentators, we must call out the names of the miracles we have pulled from the rubble of hatred. We must live out loud. We must speak of peace. And now, a remembrance that the poet Rumi said, there are 100 ways to kneel and kiss the ground, and so there are 100 ways to do all things. For peacemaking, I will offer 10 ways to become an instrument of peace. Number 1, seek internal peace. Meditate, pray, release, forgive, repent, heal. Number 2, think peace. Read, study, consider, internalize, practice. Number 3, experience peace. Feel deeply, care, remember, worship. Number 4, share peace. Converse, collaborate, listen, tell, write. Speak peace. Use words of kindness, joy, hope, love, patience. Number 6, exhibit peace. Use humility, wisdom, patience, friendship, compassion. Create peace. Imagine, invite, empower, set examples. Act for peace. Use courage, speak up, take action, avoid conflict, offer healing. Spread peace by word of mouth, email, internet, phone, letters, messages. And celebrate peace. Laugh and sing and hug. Take pleasure. Be optimistic. Show gratitude. Enjoy praise. And as a meditation to take into the week, this week's promise. This week, I will become a peace person. I will seek peace in the thoughts I allow, in the words I use, in the actions I take, and in the prayers of my heart. While living for peace, I will also look for ways to inspire others to do the same. My meditation will be, let there be peace on earth. And let it begin with me. This week, may you be blessed by your practice of inspiratory, compassion, creativity, collaboration, consilience, courage, and celebration. I'm Ann McCready, and this has been podcast number 70807. Peacemaking. You can find a text version of this broadcast along with information about Inspiratory at www.inspiratory.com. Join us next time for Inspiratory, 20 minutes to rekindle your spirit. And remember, you can be a blessing.